Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this special week trend edition. Ooh. First week trender of November. It's Monday, November 6th. I'm Jack. That right there is Miles Gray.
Yeah. Yep.
How you doing?
Good. It's week season 312. Shout out Chicago.
Hey, there we go.
Yep.
How do the big cities get like all the best area codes? Is it because they were the first ones to the area code game to need them?
What do you mean?
Like 212, 213, 212 is New York. 213 is LA.
There's 414, 616 in Chicago. Yeah. I don't know. I've never really thought of being like, man, that's a good area code, man. How do I get that?
It just feels like it's like the first ones you would come up with.
Yeah.
You know?
Like much in the same way, like I'm repping the 818, but it's not like because I'm like, and that shit is like the objectively a really good combo of numbers. That's just the name of the area code. So I'll just yell that out. I mean, but I don't know. Let us know if you are an expert in area code distribution.
I grew up in the 513 in Dayton, Ohio. So shout out to the 513.
What was it in Wheeling, West Virginia?
I was under the age of six. So I was not using the phone all that much. But
All right.
I feel like that was at a time when everybody I knew was close enough that you never had to know the area code. You know,
you just had to holler out your window, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I get that, man. America's changed.
Echo down into the gulch, down into the holler. That's why they call it that, man. It's the holler.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to get into some of the things that are happening. I believe Donald Trump is on the stand as we're recording this. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all sorts of bad news.
All manners of news, good and bad and in between. Yes.
But before we get to any of that, we do like to let our guests get to know us a little bit better and tell them what we're
our
up
guests.
To.
Huh. You,
let our listeners. So
I like that.
Maybe I
like
should start. You are our guests here.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start with my overrated because I think it'll explain why words are being misplaced and substituted. My overrated is getting that extra hour of sleep. The fallback. Yes, we get to sleep in tomorrow morning.
Yep.
This is, it gets me every time. It lures me in. I'm like, we'll get an extra hour this weekend. All my problems are over. But this
all
is
over.
Only true for people who wake up to an alarm clock, which has not been true of me for close to a decade. Certainly hasn't been true since my kids have been around. And my kids just wake up when their bodies tell them to, and now their bodies tell them to wake up at 5 a.m. instead of 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And
there you are.
There your ass is.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And did so you do the thing where you went to bed later on Saturday night? Because you're like, we get that hour, full well knowing you're not getting no fucking extra hour.
Yeah, I think we did do that a little bit.
I did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think too, like last year, even before the baby was born, like it wasn't quite hitting the same. It hasn't really, because as I got older, like my fucking circadian, like they're just like, it just works. Like it's just like, yeah, bro, you're up. Like, you're up, man. Like, I don't care if it's fucking six or you have 3 extra hours. Like, you're up.
Sorry to tell you this, but you're up for the rest of the morning. And then, anytime I try and fight it and, like, stay in bed, then it's just, like, anxiety hour.
Yeah.
You know? It's just you just lay in there and your brain is going and your body is not. And
yeah, exactly. Oh, the worst.
Not
the
my
worst
best
thoughts.
Moments. Yeah. Just the worst.
You're fucking up, dude. This is how you want to leave your kids, man?
Yeah.
What?
Maybe,
what?
You know what I should do? I should check Twitter.
Oh, maybe that'll, in bed.
Maybe that'll like give me some good ideas. And instead it's just, yeah. So
yeah, don't.
I'm tired, not doing great from a mental health perspective, but it's Monday and it's time to make the donuts. You know what I'm saying?
Time to make the donuts, you know, fuck your life. It's time to make the donuts.
That's right.
That's what my mother always said on a Monday morning.
What's your over, Miles?
Overrated. Allow me to fucking put my rabid sports fan cap on for a moment and just say video refereeing technology is absolutely overrated, especially if you don't fucking use it. Now I'm talking about this in the specifically about obviously in the context of my beloved Arsenal Football Club, but like soccer, football has embraced video technology to like help refs make on-field decisions, because sometimes the ref can only look one way. People are doing dirty shit behind their back, and sometimes it ends up in a no call and people are like, y'all can't miss this kind of shit. Or goal line technology that says, like, did the ball fully cross the line? Did it go out of bounds? Things like that, that would help adjudicate on-field decisions. But like in over the last this season, especially that just started in August, there's been like weekly critical errors where the organization that like sort of represents the officials of the game are like just giving apologies. They're like, ooh, sorry about that. Definitely shouldn't have been a goal. Our bad. God. And I know you guys lost because of that, but that's kind of on us. And I was like, oh, sorry, we missed that horrible foul. That definitely should have been a red card. Oh, God, we just hate that. And just like you're getting apologies for like very high stakes matches. And fans are just getting like so fucking fed up. But like, I'm only just sort of, you know, up in arms right now, because over the weekend, like Arsenal was on the receiving end of some terrible fucking calls. Like, I'm just going to show you one, Jack. You don't even have to see, like, understand soccer to know that like one of our players just got fucking decked in the back of his head with an elbow, and the ref was just a no call. And like the video assistant referee is help made to like prevent this kind of shit. Watch this guy, Bruno Guimarães, is about to throw an elbow. Boom, right there. Okay, now, let's slow that down so you can see from other... Not subtle at all. Just take that shit to your head. And people were like, yeah, that's... maybe that's violent conduct. But there's like this... There's a tension, I feel like, where there's like the human arrogance involved, where the officials are having trouble reconciling their own human errors that are like as clear as day that the video shows that. So then like, we're just seeing moments where like, they just ignore the video and then just back the decision on the field. And you're like, what the fuck is the point of having these extra like objective eyes if you won't use them?
Right. And so thank you for that presentation, by the way.
Yes,
Miles
did stand
up in a room with a pointer. He's dressed fully in a suit.
Thank you. Yeah. No hat, everything. It's just
appears
very
to be
formal.
A replica of the suit worn by Kevin Costner in JFK. He's pointing.
Okay. You picked up on that.
Yeah.
That was
very
intentional.
Subtle. Mm-hmm. How are they fucking up the, like, whether the ball has crossed the plane thing? Isn't that feels like that's just straightforward technologically
They'll do things like, okay, so there's for an example, there's a Manchester United player named Marcus Rashford who, like, the ball crossed the line and like the angles were like kind of inconclusive from, you could say like, I could see it go either way. They backed the refs and they're like, nope, that's clearly out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then this week a ball went out and they're like, oh, it's kind of inconclusive. But the refs are like, there's like, sorry, man, there's not enough evidence to say conclusively. So you're just like left with, well, what version is it? Like, it's conclusive when you don't have all the angles, and when you do, it's not. So what the fuck is it going to be?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's just wild too, because like what they do is they will release the audio of, like, there's like a whole video refereeing app, like a truck, like a center where they like they're communicating with the referee on the field, like looking at all these monitors, and they release the radio chatter where you can hear them deliberate it. And there was like this one goal that happened in a Liverpool match a few weeks ago where they're like, I think that's a goal. And they're like, yeah, but he counted it. He said it's a no goal. It's like, yeah, but it went in. And you hear them. He's like, it's too late now. He blew the whistle. So like they already kicked it off. So I guess we're just gonna have to count it. And you're like, wow. What the fuck? Just stop the fucking, if it's a goal, stop the game. So they just look foolish at every end. And it's just interesting to see how like technology is like at first being like, this will help make things better. And now you're like, it's somehow even fucking worse than when you didn't have it. Like, fine, whatever.
Yeah. I've noticed with basketball and football, when sometimes it becomes like a philosophical question. like it breaks down into like, well, what is the intent of the rule? And like, you need to have like philosophical discussions about it. It's really interesting that like the closer you look at a given play, like the more it just like breaks down. It really
is. Yeah. And you're like, what is out of bounds? And at that moment, really, like, how much, because like it's defined, you know, like it's interesting. I feel like in football, it's like when you break the plane, it's like it doesn't have to be anything else. You have to break the plane with the ball. Like with soccer, the ball has to be completely over the line for it to be out of bounds. So like it can look like the center of the ball that is actually contacting the ground on the other side of the line might just be close enough that the edge of the ball is technically like still on the same plane.
Yeah.
And it lends itself to a lot of interesting debates. But anyway.
And even in like baseball, did we just talk about how umpires are like,
we didn't actually get to that story.
The strike zone is just like completely subjective, essentially, and they're just like, yeah, but like it's hittable. And it's like, oh, I thought there was this like objective box that the ball had to go
through. Not really. Get the robots in here.
My underrated science fairs. I had heard tell of these, but like my family growing up, I guess, was not big science fair family.
Wait, did you never do? Didn't you have to do them for school? Like, you didn't do a school science fair? Like, you had to get your little poster board? Yeah, I guess we
did, and maybe it was just that the school science fair that we did at the time was like somewhat half-assed.
Yeah.
Like where I was at that stage.
Sure. But,
so we had to be at UCLA yesterday, and for a thing with my 7-year-old, and there was a science fair going on. Put on by like UCLA's various science departments, and it was really fucking cool. It was just like,
like UCLA science fair.
It's like the scientists who work in all these different labs and shit are challenged to come up with stuff with, I guess, students, because it seemed like there were like undergrads manning the booth as well, and like they are challenged to come up with stuff that would like be cool for kids, you know. And didn't always succeed, but like the ones that succeeded, like there was this one that started out as just one of the booths and eventually took over the whole science fair, where it was just taking a film canister,
right?
Like, you know, the like little cylindrical
canisters, black with the gray top kind of thing.
They have like a top that kind of sticks on pretty well because you don't want it to open up and expose your film.
Thank you.
And then you put a half an Alka-Seltzer and then pour a little water, like make sure the lid's on tight, shake it up, and then just like put it lid facing down.
And
then watch it just explode up into the sky. And it never got old. Like every kid who did it felt like they were discovering something. Like even though they were in a line like 20 deep.
Yeah, watching it happen over and over, repeatedly. Fuck, I can't wait till
it's my turn. Yeah. And then they got to do it, and every single time everyone was like, oh, it was so dope. And then they also had like solar telescopes set up. And so I think for the first time in my life, like I got to look directly at the sun, which is I was missing.
I mean, you've been doing that, but like,
in a way that like didn't blind me for the next 3 to 4 days. But yeah, I got to just stare at the sun. You could see the little like waves coming off of it and sunspots.
See the corona?
Saw the corona, bro.
Oh, you can? Is it on one side? Like, does the sun rotate? I don't know shit, bro. Like, is it always visible?
Not you got to visibly. Okay. I'm sure if it was time lapse, not able to turn my brain into time lapse at the moment. But yeah, it was really cool. Shout out to UCLA's science department.
It's coming back around again.
Yeah,
this is for the people of the sun.
Yeah. So that's my underrated. If you can go to like a science fair at a local college or something, I highly recommend.
Even as an adult, it'll fuck you up.
Yeah,
I remember
my 5-year-old was super into it.
When I used to do like videos for Wired magazine and just would like visit labs or like they would show us stuff, I was just always blown away when they're like, I did one where we were it was like the science of fireworks about like how you get it blue spark or whatever. And just went to this chemistry lab at UCLA where there's like mixing shit. I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, do you need to have sound? I'm like, it's fine. There's going to be no sound. So I can audibly.
Yeah,
you know, fucking gasp at all the cool shit that I'm saying.
Do you need to leave the room, sir?
the flame went green, then blue. What the fuck? it's just because of the chemicals we're using. I know, but how you do that? Forget it. I don't know what that means. It's magic.
All right. What's your underrated? For me,
underrated? Let's see. Oh, you know what? Biking. I've said it once, I'll say it again, I'll say it many times. The first reason is because, welcome to the Dadcast. The guy's child is now old enough to be in one of those bike seats that you throw on back. Mm. So we did a nice casual ride. But then later on, my mom came through and was watching him. And so we were going to go to a friend's birthday party and went to a spot that normally takes like about 15 minutes to drive. We're like, fuck it, man. Let's fucking ride bikes there. We got lights and shit, like high vis, whatever. Like, we're good. Even if it's dark, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's just the most, I just can't tell you. It's so enjoyable. And biking has been one of those things I've dreaded because as a kid growing up in LA, like biking in LA was basically doing like live action Frogger on a bike, except I'm like 10 years old and almost dying. So like I always had a healthy like, are there like if there's bike lanes and infrastructure, I'm all in. But like sometimes on the LA streets, I'm not as courageous. But now there's so many ways to like map a route so you don't like can avoid super busy streets. And biking through places that you normally just wouldn't be on a bike because like you're taking like these main roads and shit in a car. Like it's such a good way to like engage with your community or at least visually see like where you live in a way that just isn't possible in a car. And it's nice. You put have your little Bluetooth speaker, play some jams, have a nice chat, take some like quiet streets. So you don't have to worry about fucking cars flying at you and being like completely unsafe. So I just want to challenge everybody listening. If you're able to like, and you have all the equipment you need and shit, just like swap out a place you normally drive to and just ride your bike or like take a city bike or whatever. Doesn't have to be a fucking ridiculous distance, but something that you like, that's normal to you. Try the bike version and it feels good. Like to your point about mental health, I need to like move my body sometimes to feel better and feel like the air on my face and shit. And it's a good salve.
One of the best. Yeah. Changes your whole energyography. Like, you know, your brain, there's a cool thing that the brain does without us really noticing is like makes a map of the world around you. But I feel like when you're just hopping in your car, even if you are doing the driving, it's like just I get in car here and show up here. But like when you ride your bike or like walk or, you know, do something like that, it's a whole different. It's good to have that variety.
And also, like, I feel like when you drive, like when I'm on the freeway, I'm like, shit on the other side of the freeway wall might as well not exist because I'm just traversing through here. Like, I don't, it's not real to me.
And you do ride your bike on the freeway sometimes.
Yeah.
The lights on your bike, you've said, are designed by the same people who design lighthouses. And
Exactly. It does, unfortunately, I guess, blind other drivers.
Clears out the whole path. Everyone's just pulling over and closing their eyes.
Sounds like an insurance scam to me, man. They're just trying to fucking get that insurance money.
But to your point about like biking in urban areas, like some of the like when I am lying in bed in the morning or at night when, you know, sleep isn't coming. So one of the things that I think about often is like, yeah, I can't believe I didn't die there. It's a lot of things I did while I was like drunk or something, but riding my bike in New York City and like being in between a car and a bus that is like drifting over, and I've got like my arm on the bus, like kind of knocking, so be careful out there, but it is, it can be really lovely.
Yeah, it can be really lovely. Truer words.
Yeah. All right. Should we take a little break and come back? All right, we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and Trump is on the stand right now. All reports from inside the courtroom indicate that he is being exactly what you would expect.
He is being bad.
Paying attention to him for the past decade or so. He's just like combative, evasive when it comes to answering any questions, completely impossible to control, heading it like it's kind of amazing that we're still in this rhythm where heading in the mainstream coverage is like, this is historical, wondering if he'd like take the fifth or approach the judge, like on the judge's terms, basically. But he's just every chance he has to testify, like he ignores the question and just like rants about how
yeah,
rich he is. It's like in a trial where it's like this guy inflates his own value in a way that is illegal and fraudulent. He's just doing that like on the stand.
Yeah. Like, are other things, like when they're talking about like these financial statements, he's like, I mean, look, it says it's a worthless statement clause. So these aren't really documents banks paid attention to. And the judge's been like, I've already told you that that is not an actual excuse or defense in here. So right. I don't know what the reason is you're saying it. And so that's the kind of shit he's doing. He's just like, yeah. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. This is my reality. You can try and fucking alter it, but this is what I'm saying. And I don't know. I don't care if it doesn't make sense or is even legally viable as a defense at this point.
Yeah. And it's just in the same way that he challenged what a mainstream political candidate could get away with saying and just being like openly racist. And everyone's like, well, that'll sink him. And it doesn't. Like, he's doing that in a courtroom right. with like the judge. Like, he's attacking the judge and claiming it's all a big plot against him. And the judge has like issued an order that he like shouldn't attack, that he can't like attack him. And yeah. the judge keeps being like, lawyers, you better control your client or I will. But then like,
and do what?
Yeah, exactly. It's a real honestly, and do judge, what?
And man. Do what? For what?
The judge says not to say a thing. Trump says the thing. The judge seems frustrated. And then they take a recess and come back. And since they came back from the break, quote, Judge Arthur Engoron has appeared more restrained in his criticisms of Trump. He has stayed silent for most of Trump's testimony.
Right.
So, yeah, he's basically treating it like a political rally. And I don't know. This is at a time when we'll I guess, keep talking about this. But there's polling out that suggests that he is like on his path to victory.
On his way home to White Home.
Yeah.
Or House. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see like how, I don't know if they're trying to do this too, like maybe, you know, obviously incite the judge to try and get, to try and appeal and be like, this judge was just hostile to us the whole right. time. I mean, like, right. look at him. I mean, obviously we provoked him, but like that's, I feel like it probably another potential last ditch legal strategy is to try and just get the judge to blow up and then be like, how are we ever going to get a fair trial with this dude responding to our provocations like this? Right. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah.
It's a judge, like the judge is determining what happens here. It's not a jury trial. So he's not like out here proving a point to a jury. He's like kind of sparring with the guy who's ultimately going to make the decision here. And I guess he's just trying to undermine the credibility of that decision ultimately. But this was kind of the first time that I was like, oh yeah, none of the stuff, like when people are being like, wait, so he'll be elected president and sentenced to jail time? And it's like, he's not going to do, like, he will flagrantly use his power and influence to avoid going to prison. Like, it will just be a complete undermining of the judicial system. Like, that's, but I mean, like, this is, it seems.
We've already said, too, like, in, you know, his judge, like, one of his lawyers was like, he has a Secret Service. He can't go to jail or whatever. Like, sort of making it seem like the Secret Service would prevent him from, like, being taken away to jail. It's more so, like, reconciling what do you do when someone has Secret Service protection for life and then they have to go to jail.
Yeah.
Do they join the Norteño's gang, prison gang, to be part of his protection detail? I don't know. We don't know. But yeah, those kinds
house
of questions.
After are, White House arrest? It'll
yeah,
be?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is it? And yeah, the polling. We'll get to that in a second.
But yeah, I mean, one detail that, like, that there was a headline that was like, a New York Times article that was like a conviction might sink Trump. And then when you like look at the numbers of this latest polling that is like dismal for Biden, it's like a 6% swing, 6% of voters about like across all these polls are like, yeah, I might switch to Biden if Trump gets convicted.
Right. That,
6% is like such a small number, and you're assuming that they're actually going to stick to
there
that.
It is. Got him.
Got his ass. Finally.
I don't know if you saw this. They don't give a fuck
they
where he is or what he does.
All.
Yeah. They liked what he stands for. They want him to bring on the ethno state.
Yeah.
That's what they're fucking with.
Yeah.
So again, like we said, unless he becomes anti-ethno state, suddenly he's not going to do shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, it would be interesting because at a certain point, I'm sure that, like, the media, like, even right-wing media would try and figure out a way of, like, is this actually the best thing? Like, do we just try and have this guy be like, hey, man, we got to vote for him. Like, he's going to go to jail. Or be like, this is, like, what? How are we going to fucking do anything, y'all?
Yeah.
But I don't think they care. We've seen where their heads are at. So, hey, one day at a time. One day at a time. One day.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, not in the U.S., just so much horrifying news coming out of Gaza. But one truly horrific absurdity from this weekend that is worth mentioning is the Israeli heritage minister was asked in an interview about a hypothetical nuclear option and responded, that's one way, which even like mainstream Israeli broadcasters were like, wait, what the fuck did you just say?
You said there's a nuclear option? There's one way to, it could be. I mean, it's to the point where like even Netanyahu's office, like they hooked him. They're like, okay, now this guy's gone. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't need to say anything anymore out loud.
Yeah.
And then this dude tried to backpedal.
Yeah.
And said his comment was metaphorical.
Right.
And he's like, it was metaphorically drop an atom bomb on me. And I'm like, is this one of the few times that saying it was metaphorical as a defense is actually worse?
Right. Because they are metaphorically already doing that in terms of like the tonnage of explosions that are being dropped on Gaza already.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like what the 2,500 some ton or 25,000 tons of explosives that have already been dropped equals two nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I don't want to literally use an atom bomb on innocent Palestinians, but it's like a nice metaphor to describe how I desire to kill massive amounts of innocent civilians.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Just indiscriminate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. And then after that, after this guy was suspended, Netanyahu's office is like saying, like, you know, the IDF is, quote, operating in accordance with the highest standards of international law. Holy shit. Are you for real right now? Because all these experts on international law are saying that you guys are running completely afoul of those norms.
Yeah.
But here we are. And then like, you know, just sort of to bring the focus back to the US, right? We're still seeing like retribution against people that are vocally opposed to Israel's ethnic cleansing campaign. Like two writers at the New York Times, surprise, were ousted for signing an open letter that condemned the ongoing genocidal actions of the Israeli government.
Yeah.
And it's like sort of against this backdrop, there was a really good opinion piece in the Philadelphia Inquirer, actually, that we'll link to in the footnotes. That's kind of encapsulates a lot of, I feel like, what we talk about on this show about like the media is unable to contend with anything that's happening right now, like at all. And it's honestly costing us what's left of, you know, this so-called quote unquote American democracy, whatever this is. But like, if speaking truth to power is the reason to be forced to resign from a newspaper, we might as well just let Trump move into the White House now.
Right.
Like mainstream media can barely say words like white supremacy or call racist actions racist without cowering in fear of right-wing backlash. And Trump has made it clear if, when he is in power again, he will go scorched earth on everything.
Yeah.
Like the media, activist groups, district attorneys, judges, and he hasn't hid the fact that he and his allies are preparing like groups of craven lawyers to do exactly that. So you're like,
that's what his entire career has been, is just attacking anybody who opposes him in court. So
exactly,
it'll just be a complete clusterfuck.
Like, and currently, right, the media can't even bring itself to use words like ethnic cleansing.
Right.
And this is when like human rights groups and experts in the very subject are screaming at the top of their lungs that these atrocities are at the very least war crimes.
Yes.
If not the textbook definition of ethnic cleansing.
Right.
And that's, but then you'll see like, you know, again, just sort of like this back and forth, like the both sidesing of it, like, but sometimes they'll use the word, like the words of these human rights groups to paint like an adversary of the U.S. to be like, and that's why they're bad in sanctions and fighting.
Right.
But in this sense, let's just completely ignore everything.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, like the push, like, I don't know how the media will push back against a full on fascist takeover of the government if they can't even like use the right words to describe things or push back on anything. Right now, the Washington Post wrote a puff piece on Speaker Mike Johnson. Like we told you, this guy is from the cave era of like Christian norms. Okay. Like it's not even like there's like no human. He thinks the world is 6,000 years old.
Yeah.
And him and his son, there was like leaked audio about how him and his son use that app Covenant Eyes to make sure nobody's.
They actually, yeah. I saw that they like, he talked about how they kind of compare notes on like not masturbating all the time.
Hey, how they're doing great. We're both not just stroking it,
just jacking it.
We're doing great.
Hey dad, just checking in. Hope you're good. I haven't jacked off yet.
Yep. All right. Love you, son. Don't jack off, dad. But like this piece in the Washington Post is called, quote, House Speaker Mike Johnson's Louisiana hometown guided by faith and family.
Oh, cool.
This is wow. These guys are Christo fascists.
Yeah.
But we're doing this whole thing of like, oh, and it's like quaint. And he doesn't like yell a lot. So it's okay. So I just think it's really bad because I think the mainstream perspective, especially in the U.S., is to just ignore everything that is going wrong with the United States.
Yeah.
Like that's why Biden's polls are in the shitter right now.
Yeah.
And his own advisors and other like, you know, consultants like on the big D Democratic like campaign machine are saying shit like, oh, the second term's in the bag already. Like, don't worry about these polls. Don't worry about these polls. It's in the fucking bag.
Yeah.
And it's you're just like, what planet are y'all on?
Yeah. I saw some of the like crooked guys coming forward and being like, well, no, I think there's a lot of work to do, but like we just need to remind him of like remind everybody of his accomplishments and stuff like that, but just like totally ignoring
or how scary the Trump we got to remind people how yes. scary the Trump presidency is going to be. That is so cynical.
Right.
You know, to completely ignore people who are like, I don't know, like I also see it. Some people see their vote as like a part of their like they're endorsing the morality of a candidate or something. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah. how they're tied to things, but they don't see that happening. It's just really scary. Like whether or not, you know, you want to vote for Biden, to think that you can look at everything that's happening in the United States and have the tone be like, we're good, babe.
Killing
we're
it good. Here, guys. Yeah.
That is definitely not going to help people who want Biden to have another term at all. You know what I mean? It's just like so wild. Like, you know, it's like they don't want to acknowledge again that this country, like we would rather put the emphasis on like students that made a fundraiser for their sick teacher right. rather than acknowledge how broken our healthcare system is and how underpaid the very people we're counting on to educate our kids are. Or they want to ignore that we're a party to genocide right now. Or they want to ignore that we will let our children die from gun violence and do fuck all about it. And they want to ignore violent inequality. It's like, they just, I mean, it feels like they don't want to get their hands dirty with like talking about that shit.
Yeah.
But the fact is, most of us are already in the muck. So just fucking acknowledge it rather than do this like rhetorical gaslighting. Because that's not, this like, oh, it's in the bag talk is such a smack in the face to people who really need help, who really need things to change urgently.
Yeah. In terms of like what, because there David Axelrod, who was like one of Obama's like main mm-hmm. campaign advisor people, yeah. is like saying that Biden shouldn't run. But like the Democratic Party in general, like who are they advocating instead of Biden?
They're like, not. No one said anything.
Right. Like, so it's just,
you know, other than that, it's like, you know, Cornel West is running as a third party person. Yeah. And that's already going to, I don't know, who knows like what attack mode they go into, because we've seen what happens when progressives, people who are to the left of like a Democratic candidate, what happens there, the media treatment is there.
Yeah.
But it's truly one of those things where it's like, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out how are they going to use their leverage as voters to try and get something to work in the right way.
Right.
And a lot of people feel very cynical right now. And it doesn't help when you have like the people who are like whispering into the president's ear, like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. These are just haters. But like, you know, I have a feeling in the next month, you're going to see more and more pieces being written up about, is it bad for Biden right now? You know, like progressive outlets have been saying that.
Yeah.
But it's like going to get to the point where, like, with this polling now, this has been like a huge news piece where everyone's like, holy shit, like he's leading in the five swing states that you
need.
We're
staring down the barrel of another Trump presidency.
Right. And then, but then you see like a lot of the mainstream coverage is to be like, well, people just got to be reminded how bad it will be with Trump.
Right.
But
yeah,
I'm sorry because the mass shootings went away since the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Because like medical debt has like been completely erased because of Joe Biden.
Right.
And I get that there are things that are improving, but that's the whole point of being a voter and having a vote. They're courting your support. So if you say, I actually need these things and you're ignored, that's not good. That's not a winning strategy.
Yeah. I feel like their answer is going to ultimately be to like replace Kamala Harris with somebody else on the ticket, you know,
like, you imagine? Like
just blame it on her, basically.
Oh my God. That would be so textbook. That would be to the point that it like makes you want to die.
What the Democratic Party is going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Just blame this woman of color for this guy's failures as a president or perceived failures. I'm like, let's not see too far into the future.
No.
Quite yet.
We'll get a good news cycle out of it or two. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
All right. Couple lighter bullshit stories. Homer Simpson will no longer strangle Bart Simpson.
Fucking Simpsons gone woke too now.
Am I you're right?
The wokest show of the woke cartoons.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Okay.
It's crazy. Great. So the detail about this story
he's not
that blew my mind. The thing that blew my mind was that, like, he was still doing it in, like, the 2019-2020 season. Like, there's a part in the last time was Homer choking Bart, and, like, Milhouse is there and, like, cowering in fear.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
It never went away, which is kind of funny. I think it's always been a thing. People are like, is that, we're still doing that? Like choking to the point that your tongue is coming out of your mouth, like it does whenever they depict that in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But like now on the show now, they're like saying it out loud that it's done.
Basically. Yeah. In a recent episode, someone compliments Homer's firm grip and he responds, see Marge strangling the boy paid off. And then adds, just kidding, I don't do that anymore. Times have changed. Which almost feels...
Times have changed?
That's weird because, first of all, time hasn't changed within the show. I have aged from being Bart's age to older than Homer since the beginning of the show. Right? Isn't he in his 30s?
I think he's like, yeah, exactly.
And pop culture references have gone through, like, you know, hundreds of cycles, multiple, like 7 presidential administrations. But the characters within the show have remained the same age.
Oh, okay. Someone has actually pointed out he was 34 in the early episodes.
Okay.
36 in season 4.
Wow.
38 and 39 in season 8. And then 10 years later in season 18 became 40.
Okay. Oh, so maybe he is aging a little bit.
But at a rate, I can't even do the math. Like, I don't even understand the proportions based on per season at this point. It's like you aged 2 years in one season and then 10 years, or you aged 1 year after 10 seasons.
Yeah. How does it convert to like dog years? Or it feels like the opposite of dog years.
Yeah.
Someone's like age at like that point, oak trees.
Like if Homer has aged 6 years from the early episodes up to season 18, then I feel that I'm really sorry. I think Maggie has some kind of, she might need some help. She might need to see
for
that.
Sure. And the other kids,
she's still small.
Like they're in the same grade essentially. Yeah. Right. Like it's not like they've Bart has hit puberty or anything. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's a good fan theory about the purgatory that they all exist inside.
Right.
So hit us up, Zeit Gang, if you know of some good theory. But yeah, so, They've been struggling with this one for a while. Like all the way back in season 22, there was an episode in which Paul Rudd tries to cure Homer of his abusive ways, and it just like didn't work.
Cure Homer of cure them of their abuse. Oh, poor Paul.
But it's caused, of course, people to jokingly say that The Simpsons has gone woke, and then a lot of other people saying the exact same thing, but completely seriously. The Simpsons has gone woke. So.
It's funny because there's so many people
Simpsons?
Who like real Simpsons fans are just being using the sarcasm of like, oh, can't believe it. My Simpsons has gone woke. And then other people were like, you see these takes on Twitter, like, I guess the Simpsons are about to go broke.
Right.
Because they've gone woke. And then you're like, okay, cool. American flag emojis in your display name.
Yeah. And then there is a British Christmas commercial. I guess this is like a tradition that are you familiar with Marks and Spencer?
Oh, M&S, absolutely. M&S. Absolutely.
So this is like the main department retailer, department store in
They've got
England.
It all.
They
Marks
got it
and
all.
Spencer, they've got it all. They've got food, you can buy clothing, you can buy, I don't know why I became Trump. You can buy like kids school uniforms, like, you know, that all they got it all. They got it all.
So the ad, I guess like around this time, their equivalent of the Mariah Carey, you know, viral video where she is broken free from a block of ice, like Encino Man, like these ads that announce the beginning of Christmas. And this year's Christmas ad features stars like Ted Lasso's Hannah Waddingham and Queer Eye's Tan France ditching conventional Christmas trends like party hats and gingerbread houses by like shredding and blowtorching them. They did not like pile drive Santa or anything like that, but it felt like that's where it was headed. But people are reacting. They're like, this is an abomination. It's just interesting that they're able to like pull. This feels like a very calculated attempt to troll the right wing on a thing that, you know, the right will make a big deal about, but real people like aren't. Don't give a shit. Like the war
you don't
on Christmas.
You don't faint if you see a Santa hat going to a wood chipper.
Right. And
you're like,
and
yeah,
the main
I get
thing
it.
That they're arguing against are like Elf on a Shelf really takes a beating in this one.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah. Which I think they're on point with their feeling that people are tired of Elf on a Shelf. And it's also like not one of the old Christmas traditions. The other ones that they go after that maybe they are Christmas traditions in the US, but I was not aware that they were. So board games, I guess, like, yeah, there's, you know, you're with family, so there's board games, but I never thought of it as explicitly a Christmas tradition.
Right.
Charades.
I feel like I see that in like in depictions of the holidays and like British dramas I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Party hats, the paper party hats I was familiar with. And then Elf on a Shelf comes in for it.
And like what the whole thing is basically like, I'm guessing the thrust of the commercial is like, yeah, man, because it's 2023 and like we can do Christmas all kinds of fucking ways. You don't have to play charades with your aunt.
Yeah, it's basically like these celebrities getting fed up with these very specific traditions. It's kind of a mess, to be honest with you. Like it's just
right,
they're doing the Christmas thing and then they just like decide to light one of their Christmas decorations on fire. And it's not clear like which ones they're saying are good and which ones they're saying are bad. I think the point is like, I like this one and I don't like this one. And I should be allowed to destroy the ones that I don't like and be like kind of cranky and scroogey about other people's.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I mean, I feel like just, if you want to do a commercial that speaks to the real spirit of Christmas, just show how nobody actually gives a fuck about Jesus.
Right.
You know, there you go. And just lean into that. Like me, I'm being nice because I want a kitchen knife or like I want a Nintendo. The what? I don't know. It's just about having this crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I don't know. That's the beauty of these weird ass holidays that are like vaguely religious that have just been taken over by consumerism is like, just do whatever the fuck you want, man.
Yeah. Who cares? Have a Christmas holiday that you're ready to see go in the wood chipper?
A Christmas tradition?
Do you have a Christmas tradition that you're ready to see go in the wood chipper?
Yeah, going to fucking church.
Amen, brother.
You know what I mean? Getting in the way of the Christmas gifts.
Thank you.
But I opted out of that pretty quickly when I was a kid. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think that's what's so funny is I think growing up in a non-traditional household, I was never forced to do anything traditional. Yeah. So we always had our own weird ways of doing shit. It was always like this hybrid black Japanese Christmas we would do.
Right.
So like there would be like, I'll go to my grandparents and I'll get a healthy dose of Jesus over there.
Right.
And then bring it on home. And then, you know, my mom would have like, we didn't have a tree. So she put like lights on a fucking lamp that was like really tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause she's like, do you want a tree? I'm like, I always said, is it presents? She's like, yeah, we'll have presents. I'm like, then you can put that shit under a mannequin. I don't give a fuck. Because for me, I just cut right to the chase. I'm like, give me gift. Yeah. I don't know about no nativity scene, the three wise men, none of that. Just let me have a gift. And let me open one on Christmas Eve.
That would have probably been even more controversial if they had thrown an entire church into a wood chipper. They probably...
Hey, if you want me to... Look, guys, I can write your right-wing outrage bait like ads so easily. And I'll do it for free, y'all, as long as you have the budgets to make them.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, November 6th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other.
Yes.
Be kind to yourselves.
Yes.
Get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do nothing about white supremacy.
No.
And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought... In that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed. Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.